Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss on Tisha B'Av. As I mentioned, he has a multi-volume work of Sichot on the holidays, and in this volume, in the section on Tisha B'Av, this is actually the very first essay on Tisha B'Av, Maimar Nun Bet. So he talks about the fact that we are getting close to Tisha B'Av. Of course, we're meeting today, the shir today is on Rosh Chodesh Av, so we're in the meeting of the 9 days. And as we get closer and closer to this incredibly sad day, says Rav Asher Weiss, on the one hand, we hopefully are in the process of getting in touch with, even more than we would on a daily basis, the Churban and all of the terrible things. And yet, as he says on the second paragraph, Afal Pike, nevertheless, even at the same time, Pinu Malay Tilas Hashem U Ma'aminim Anu called Avid Rachman Latavavid. We still at the same time praise Hashem and believe that everything is truly for the good. Ma'aminim anu b'lev shalem shakarish baruch hu shochein imanu gam b'ma'amakei hayagon u b'cheshchas hagalus. We believe truly in our hearts, in the depths of our hearts, that Hashem is with us even in this bitter time, even in the darkness of the galus, rachamav, chasadav, hagadolim, v'hamarubim, melavim otanu, and His great kindness still accompanies us, gam behester panim, even in the moments where we feel Hashem is gone, kamo bezmanim shel ha'arat panim. We believe that Hashem is there even when we can't see Him, as much as when we can see Him. Bein kasher malchus shemayim b'isgalya, just like we see Hashem or we feel Hashem's presence when it is b'isgalya, when it is revealed, so too bein kasher malchus shemayim b'ischasya, so too when the malchus of shemayim is closed, hidden, mechuseh, covered. So he starts off right away, and this is really going to be the theme of the piece, making a statement of faith. And that is that on the one hand, we don't deny the darkness and the distance that we feel on Tisha B'Av or other similar related tragedies. But at the same time, there's a little bit of a paradox because we believe be'emunah shelema that Hashem is just as with us in the dark times as He is in the light times. Just as He, even when we can't see Him, doesn't mean, so to speak, He's not there. With that, which is, again, I think it's a powerful idea. It's not always an easy idea, but it's a powerful idea. That's obviously no chiddush of Rav Asher Weiss. However, I think the next piece, which is his application of it, is some of it he's going to quote from other people, and others it might be his own, I think is really beautiful, and at least for me, it was new and very, very meaningful when I was recently learning this. He says, V'hine v'ze nira b'kavanas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi b'Yerushalmi. A very powerful, short, pithy a statement in the Gemara in Yerushalmi in Masechet Ta'anit, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi reports, Im yomar lecha adam, eichan hu elokecha. If someone asks, where was your God when all these terrible things were happening? Where was God during the time of the Churban? Emorlo, you should tell him, and here we have two different nuschaot of the Yerushalmi, in the standard Yerushalmi, it says, you respond to the person, Bekrach Hagodol Sheba Adom. Where was God at the time of the Churban? Here, of course, talking about the second base of Mikdash. He was in the big city, the capital city of Edom. Or as he writes in parentheses, other versions of the Yerushalmi say, and I think this is actually more well known, it's often quoted, even though in the Yerushalmi that we have now, the standard is Edom, but the other version of it he quotes, Bekrach Hagodol Sheba Romi. Again, that doesn't make a substantive difference. We have a tradition that Edom is Rome, but it's just a question of how the Yerushalmi text is viewed. But either way, the point is, somebody challenges, where is God? And it's a reasonable challenge, right? Because you don't see God. But what's the response? He's in the Krach Gadol of Rome or of Edom. He's in the big city. It's a little bit confusing. It's a little bit ambiguous. What kind of response is that? It's a riddle. What does that mean? God is in Rome all of a sudden? What does that mean? Taken out of context, this might be a proof for a different religion, right? But what could the Yerushalmi possibly mean? So he quotes here, Hagon Hagadol Rabbi Yisachar Shlomo Teichtal, Hashem Yimkom Tomo. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Rav Teichtal. He is a very, very famous Talmud Chacham from the earlier and middle of the 20th century. And the Hashem Yimkom Tomo there is because he died in the Holocaust. He was one of the great Hungarian, Romanian, that part of Europe, Gedolim, and he, well, again, I think the legend is that while he was in hiding from the Nazis before he was eventually died and killed, he wrote a very famous work, which you may very well be familiar with, called Eim HaBanim Smecha. The Eim HaBanim Smecha is, you know, a super popular work among the religious Zionist population, very much speaking about the importance of Eretz Yisrael, and even includes an acknowledgement that he thinks that people like him, and he speaks personally, who came from that Eastern European, Hungarian, anti-Zionist perspective, made a mistake, and perhaps even the Holocaust is a punishment for that. So don't want to go there at all, but it is worth noting that his incredibly powerful and important sefer, and even independent of that, he was a Gaon Adir. We have some of his halachic writings that have survived as well, the Mishnah Sochir, and he is just like so many others, incredible tragedy that someone with such potential to contribute, whose life was cut short in such a tragic way. But anyway, Rav Asher Weiss here is quoting, I'm not enough of an expert in the Sefer Emunah Smecha to know if this is in the Sefer, or somehow there's just some other oral tradition that Rav Techtal said this. I'd love to find out. That's my own ignorance, that I'm not sure what he's referring to. But he doesn't quote a citation, so maybe it's not in Emunah Smecha, I'm just not sure. But either way, says Rav Asher, that he quotes the following interpretation from Rav Techtal. It says, Kasav b'itzuman shal yimei ha-shoah. So again, maybe this is from the Emunah Ben Smecha, I'm not sure. He says, Rav Techtal wrote, in the midst of the depth of the pain and destruction of the Shoah, Hanora klape ela sheshalu b'yamim ha-efelim. People would ask at that time, in the darkness of the Nazi terror, b'mar libam u'b'shivram rucham, people with bitter hearts and broken spirits, Aye Elokeinu, where is our God, right? If you couldn't ask it then, when could you ask it, right? Pretty reasonable to ask that question then. V'chilama histiras panav mimenu, why did God turn his face away from us? Dezu kavanoso shalamora ha-gadol Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So said Rav Taital, this is exactly what Rav Yeshua ben Levi is coming to answer in the Yerushalmi that we saw. Yeshua ben Levi shaya samuch limei ha-churban. He lived close to the time of the Churban. V'omer, and he said, Im yishalch adam eye elokeinu, if someone asks, where was God at the time of the Churban? Amartel, what should you say to him? Bekrach ha-gadol sheberomi, he was in the big city of Rome. What does that mean? Bemokam ha-rosha, in that evil place. Ubelev libo, shalmashenira kehester panim hanora bioter, right in the heart of where it appears God is most absent, right in the heart of our wicked enemies, right there. Gamsham, even there. Nimsa Kodesh Baruch Hu, God is there, Barov Rachamav V'chasadav, in all of his great kindness and compassion, V'chadav Rachmanu L'tavavid, Berderach HaNisgava Mi Binatenu. Admittedly, it is beyond our comprehension, Derach Nisgava Mi Binatenu, but nevertheless, we believe axiomatically, as a matter of faith, that all that God does, L'tav Ovid. And therefore, in a very dramatic way, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying, you want to know where God was? It's not just that he didn't disappear. It's not even that he was just at the periphery. He was in the center of it, right? As we have an expression, sometimes a popular one nowadays, right? When you have a kind of a problem, instead of running away, we lean in. So you could say, religiously, something like the Holocaust or the Churban is kind of a problem, right? Somebody with a little less confidence might be, so to speak, kind of running away, if you will, from the question. Rav Teichtal interprets Rav Yehoshua ben Levi as not running away at all. He's leaning into the question. He said, you want to know where God was? He was exactly in the center of it. Now, you could argue that that raises and sharpens the question. Well, how could he allow it to happen? Fair enough. But the point is, at the end of the day, even if we don't have an answer to that question, we believe fundamentally that he was right there. That if it happened, it happened because he had chosen it to happen. Now, why that's important, I have a theory. We'll see if Rav Asher Weiss himself, I don't know if he says it explicitly, but I'll share with you what I think is the truth and what he may very well mean as well. But that's his interpretation in the name of Rav Techtal from the Yerushalmi. And again, it just seems like a one-liner, you know, it's a little bit ambiguous, kind of a zinger. Where was God? Bekrach Gadol Sheberomi. So says Rav Techtal, no, this is what he means. That as bad as it was, you should know, he was right there. We believe it. He was there the whole time. And ultimately, we'll understand why he did it. But we trust, even when we don't see him, even when you can't see him, he's there. So moving on, says Rav Asher Weiss, Hine, Ikra, and I think this is more Rav Asher Weiss himself now, Ikra HaKadusha Shabbatfilas HaAmida Shtei Psukim. He says, basically the essence of Kedusha that we say in Shemoneh Esrei is really two different statements from the Nevi'im. The first, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavaos, Melo Chalaretz Kvodo. Right? Not only is God holy, but the whole world encompasses his honor. Who said that? What's the source of that? That's from the Navi Yishayahu in Perek Vav. The second pasuk, which we know makes up the body of the Kedusha, is Baruch Hashem, Baruch Kavod Hashem, Mimkomo. Also talking about God's kavod, but here it's Mimkomo, from his place. Where's that from? That's the Navi Yechezkel in Perek Gimel. And speaking about the difference between Yechezkel and Yeshayahu, the Gemara Chagiga very famously says, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, Amar Rava, Kol Shera Yechezkel Ra Yeshaya. They were seeing the same things. They're basically contemporaries. The two Nevi'im are prophesying mainly about the same events. And yet, even though the Nevuot seem to be completely different, Lama Yechezkel Doma, because there was a difference between them. Yechezkel was like a Ben Kfar, Shirat HaMelech. He was someone who lived in a tiny little village, in a small little hamlet, maybe in the forest, somewhere small, and finally one day, wow, he could see the king. Lama Yeshaya Doma, but who was Yeshaya comparable to? LeBen Krach Sharas HaMelech. He lived in the big city. He lived in the city of the king. In other words, Yechezkel is prophesying from Bavel, right? He's already part of the Gola. He was part of the generation that is sent into Golos. Whereas Yeshaya, who was not that much before that, again, somewhat contemporary, he's contemporaneous, but he is still pre, he is in the city itself, in Yerushalayim itself. So what does Rashi say in that Gemara? Parash Rashi, Ra Yeshaya. Yeshaya prophesies, when he would get his Ruach HaKodesh, Yeshaya saw God in all of his glory, sitting on the throne of glory, even in the good times. But if you read Yeshaya, the words are much shorter, the sentences are much less descriptive, it's more terse. Why? Because he basically, it wasn't a big deal for Yeshaya to see this. He was used to it. He grew up with it. It wasn't a big deal. Somebody who lives, a city person, who sees the king, who sees the queen, who's always used to seeing the king or queen, is not going to go on a big discussion and talk about, oh my gosh, and tell you every detail. Been there, done that. However, of course, when it comes to the Navi Yechezkel, he was this Ben Kfar. He was the Ben Kfar. He never saw the king. So if he got even a whiff of him, he spoke much more in depth. Right? It's, in English, there's a phrase, in American English, I should say, act like you've been there. In other words, when you get too excited for something, you speak too much about it, you're implying, or you're revealing, I should say, that it's new to you. That's a difference that Rashi basically implies from the Gemara, if you want to know the difference between the Navi Yeshayahu and the Navi Yechezkel. Very famous Gemara, very famous Rashi. However, comes along Rav Asher Weiss and says a beautiful twist. V'lulein mistafina. Right, that's a famous common rabbinic phrase. If I wouldn't be scared, if I wouldn't be nervous to say what I'm about to say, it's kind of a little bit of a fake. It's a fake move, right? He's acknowledging that he's saying this with some trepidation. It's his own original idea. Hayanir lahosif, I would add, ba'omakad dvarim, it's not just that they were in different locations and different, but they were also experiencing different things in different times. Hanavi Yeshayahu minave mitoch Beis Hamikdash. He was still in the Beis Hamikdash. Ukvod Hashem malei or milei es haheichal. Why does Navi Yeshayahu say Malei Haaretz Kivodo? Kadosh Kadosh Hashem Tzvos Malei Kvaretz Kivodo. Meaning to say, when you see the Beis Hamikdash in its glory, when you see all of the miracles in the Beis Hamikdash, the Jewish people thriving at that stage, you can honestly say Malo Kol Haaretz Kivodo. The whole world is filled with His honor because we see it. Hashem is there. We see the power. We see the glory. However, the Navi Yechezkel Menavei v'hu al Nahar. He was al Naros Bavel, mourning with the people as they were exiled from the land. Kfar Batocha Gola. He's already a little bit in the diaspora. Ham Yuseres Hadvuya Sheveretz Bavel. Right. He's already in this terrible situation. Kasher Hester Ponim Sholep Olam. As God is slowly retreating and not being visible in the world. But because he had prophecy, he was able to see Ruach Sarav, Anan Kaved, Eish Mitlakachat, right? The famous image of Yechezkel, the fire, etc. But Ruach Nivuoso Roes Chazon, I mean, Shekol Kula Ema Vafachad. It was scary, it was distant, it was retreating. Elisha Betok Kol Choshech Vafela Roet Saviv lo chein hachashmal mitoch eish. Again, very famous, very mystical, very mysterious visions that the Navi describes in Yechezkel of seeing this fire and lightning and power. What is he talking about? The answer is, again, he sees Hashem in a way that most people can't in his time, but he sees him from a very, very distant place. Baruch kvod Hashem mim komo. The Navi is able to see Hashem where? In his place, somewhere far away. The Navi knows Hashem exists. He doesn't think, God forbid, chas v'shalom, that there is no God anymore. But he sees God not malocha l'aretz kvodo, not in front of him, not where everyone can see him, but mim komo, from a distant place. Av shlo zachinu shemala aretz kvodo. Even though you can't say, I'm looking all around Israel, look all around the world, and I easily see visions and manifestations and echoes and ripples of Hashem. No. Ki ha-haster mechased ha-giloi. Because God in his infinite wisdom, his inscrutable wisdom, decided to retreat and to add some, so to speak, cloud cover, to, so to speak, hide himself. And therefore, what should be visible, you know, if it's a cloudy day, you can't see the sun, doesn't mean the sun's there. He was a kel mistater. He was hiding, and the Navi could see him, and that's reflected in his words, his choice of words, Baruch Hashem mim komo. So this is a very, very beautiful idea, which Rav Asher Weiss, I think, is adding. It works off of the Gemara, and it works back to the Gemara in Yerushalmi that Rav Tachtal explained, and it gives a certain meaning, you know, this afternoon or this evening when you hear Kedusha, if you're in shul, if you have a chance to be in shul. So next time you say Kedusha, these words should take on a different meaning. Not only because, as the Gemara and Rashi seem to say, you know, it's one thing, you know, you're the city dweller, or you're the more of the country bumpkin, so to speak, right? You're more excited, right? If you live in London and you see the queen and the guard, changing of the guard all the time, you're not a tourist, right? A tourist comes, wow! Right? That's the simple reading of the Gemara with Rashi. But the, you know, based on where they were. But Rav Asher Weiss is giving a little bit of a twist, and that is when they were prophesying, during the good time, so to speak, or the bad time. And the principle is that it's a different experience, but still, nevertheless, a matter of faith. We know Hashem was there even when we couldn't see him. The Navi could see him, and he's telling us he was there, but bim komo, and which is not as clear for all to see, m'loch l'aretz kivodo. In the second section of the essay, there's actually four sections, and hopefully we can get through three, because the third is teeny, but certainly we'll get through the second one, which is building on different sources, but building on and complementing what we've seen until now. Rav Asher Weiss continues, and he explains something quite beautiful. And this is working off of the pasuk in Shmos, V'ri'is asacharai upanai lo yira'u. Right, God tells Moshe, Moshe wants to see God's face, and Hashem says to him very, you know, mysteriously, you can see my back, but you cannot see my face. What exactly does that mean? Perish mechudash v'nachmad kasav b'shut kol aryeh b'psicha b'shem rabo ha-godol ha-chasam sofer. So in the Tshuva Sefer Kol Aryeh, written by a student of the Chasam Sofer, in the introduction, he quotes a tradition and an interpretation in the name of his great Rebbe. Moshe hishtokek lavin et archei Hashem b'shleimus ha-hasaga. Moshe is trying to understand the ways of God. V'amar lo kadosh baruch hu. And what is God's response? Re'isa es achorai. Hainu havana bebechinas achorav. There's times where we can understand something in the dimension of my back. What does that mean, my back? Shehi havana b'di'eved al masha asa Hashem. Right? If you see someone's back, that means that they walked past you. Right? So, seeing Hashem from the perspective of achorai means I see it and I understand it after it happened. With some distance of time, some distance of years, then retrospectively we could understand perhaps Hashem's ways. That's seeing him from behind. However, as the pasuk continues and the Chasam Sofer explains, as panai lo yera'o, but to see my face, havanas darchi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sha'atan, but to see Hashem and understand him, so to speak, when we're face to face with him, in the moment that things happen, ne'elam mikol adam, that no one can do. Even Moshe Rabbeinu never got to be on that level. So that is an idea, if I'm not mistaken, I think I pretty much heard the same idea, I think it's published, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I think, also said a similar idea in that interpretation of the Gemara. And again, I think it's a beautiful interpretation, but I don't think it's necessarily, I think that, you know, maybe I'm biased because I've seen that idea from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik for many, many years, but I guess to me at this point, like when I see the pasuk, that's just kind of what I assume it means. But I guess admittedly, it's not obvious. And at least now we have, I had seen it from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, but now we have a quote that the Chasam Sofer gave a same interpretation of that pasuk. However, his student, the Kol Aryeh, continues. And he explains, using this idea, he wants to explain Rashi. Rashi on that pasuk says, Herolo Kesher Shel Tfilin, right? If the pasuk itself is mysterious, seeing God's back, so we can all, right, Rashi and Chazal double down. What did Moshe see? Right, the back of the knot of Tfilin, right? The Tfilin Sharosh has a knot in the back. We could see, so to speak, the back of Hashem's Tfilin. What does that mean? What are we talking about? So the Kol Aryeh explains that Parshas Kriya Shema, he yisod mitzvah satfilin uba pasuk rishon the Kriya Shema omrim anu Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When we talk about tefillin here, the way he understands it, he's going to get to tefillin specifically in a second. But before we get to the physical structure of the tefillin, what's in the tefillin are the parshios, and we have the parsha of Shema. That's the essence, and we say there that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. God is truly one. What does that mean? That God is truly one. The Shem Havaya Matzbia Al Midas Harachamim. The Yud Kei Vav Kei is a way of referring to God in His merciful. Shem Elokim Midas Adin. And whereas the name Elokim is referring to Midas Adin. Now, this is a very mystical idea, an ancient idea. It goes back a long, long time. Many, many early sources speak about the different names of Hashem. And many different theories refer to different names of Hashem, referring to different dimensions, so to speak, of God. Now, what exactly does that mean? So on a mystical level, I have no idea. On the simple level, I think it's actually pretty easy to understand, right? Every person, I shouldn't say every person, but many of us, we're known by slightly different names based on the relationship, right? There might be a name that your parents call you. There might be a name that your grandparents call you. There might be a nickname or a different name that your siblings call you. One day, a girlfriend or a wife, Rebbeim, right? You could be, you yourself may get a job in some office and you give a different name, right? If you have, if your name is Max or Michael, maybe that's not such a big deal, right? But if your name is Moshe or Duvid, so maybe you get a job, you tell people, oh, my name is Mark, my name is Max, my name is David, right? The point is, which one are you? The answer is you're all of them. It's not a contradiction. They each reflect a different type of interaction, right? And when your grandparents, when you're a little baby and your bubby has this cute little cutesy nickname for you, because that reflects a certain relationship that she has with you, right? And then different people have different relationships, and some of that's manifest in names. So I think that's a simple understanding what Chazal mean and other sources mean when they say different names of God reflect different midos and attributes. Obviously, it's one God. That's the whole point, as he's about to say. Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That is to say, just when God sometimes appears to us as Elokim, when he appears to us with Midas Hadin, and other times God appears to us as Yudkei Vavkei, he appears to us with compassion. There are times in our life where we feel Hashem's compassion and love. Other times where we feel his anger, or we just feel distant from him. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You should know, it's not two different powers, God forbid. It's not two different gods, God forbid. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The same God who of Midas HaRachamim is the same God of Midas HaDin. And therefore, that's what Rav Asher Weiss says in the next lines. Af shalach or roim lefamim es Midas HaRachamim liti Midas HaShuraleinu. Nevertheless, we know the call of Rachman al-Tav of it, af Midas HaDin v'Rachamim hi b'pnimusa. Because the truth of the matter is, even in the anger, even in the punishment, is Hashem's genuine love and compassion for us. It's like when a parent punishes a child. When a child's young, they just think the parent's angry, doesn't love them, etc. But as the child gets older and mature, they realize, even when my parent's angry, and that's hard for me, but I know that it's coming from a place of love. That's what we mean when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So first of all, again, that's a beautiful idea, which keeps with the theme. When Rashi says that Hashem says to Moshe, you know, you can see my back, you can see my tefillin, so he explains what this means is, he's basically showing him, you want to understand what's happening in the world. You should know, whether it looks good or bad, it's all from me. That's the idea of the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which is in the tefillin. And then the Kol Aryeh, the Chasam Sofer's son, he adds one final, a third element. Hosef HaKol Aryeh, Dishter Ritzuyos HaNefrados Min HaBayis. Hachas Limin V'Shnia L'Smol. If we're talking about seeing the back of the tefillin Shel Rosh and the knot, what emerges from the knot of the tefillin Shel Rosh? The two straps, the two ritzuos. one going down the right side and one going down the left side. So said the Kolari, this also hints at the same theme, because we know that as we are taught, smol doche v'yamin makariv, that is to say that the left symbolizes distance, pushing away, tough love, yamin makareves, but the right symbolizes intimacy, closeness, tenderness in a relationship. And therefore, the two straps of the tefillin represent the same idea as Elokeinu and Yudke Vavke. Rachamim and Din. Yamin and Smol. Those are parallel themes. And says the Kol Aryeh so beautifully. And what's the knot of the tefillin that Rashi quotes? Hakesher shel tefillin, kosher es hadin v'harachamim biyachad. The knot ties them together. Binds the midas hadin with the midas harachamim together. Kesher zemoro umalamei shadin v'harachamim echad heim. Gam midas hadin, rachamim. And even the din that sometimes Hashem has to show us is really a form of rachamim. Because again, like any parent, Hashem is loving us and doing the best that he can for us, even when we don't understand it. So this is again a similar idea that what we were saying previously, that just like we had said, God is in the krach shalromi, even when we can't see him, we know he is there. So too, even when we're experiencing midas hadin, whether you want to call that the Elokeinu, the Shem Elokeinu, or you want to call that the Smol, it's the same thing as when we experience, and it's not, for us it doesn't feel the same, but ultimately in truth, it's the same as the Yudke Vavke and the Yamin, the Midas HaRachamim. And it's the Echad, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it's the Kesher Shel Tefillin, it's our belief that really it's the same, not only is it the same Hashem, but that really everything ultimately is coming from a place of love, tenderness, care, and concern. Let's see if we have a few more minutes. Let's just see the end of this section, even if we can't get further than that. But I just want to share with you one last section here. We'll try to get to the end of the page. He says, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Bikesh Moshe Leida Rasha V'Tovlo Tzadik V'Ralo. When Moshe was saying, show me your face, it wasn't Stam because he wanted to see if Hashem has, you know, freckles or not, if Hashem has a big nose or a small nose, green eyes or blue eyes. It was a metaphoric way of Moshe saying, I want to understand what's happening in the world. How come good people are suffering? How come bad people are enjoying themselves? What's going on? So, says Rav Asher Weiss in the next paragraph, Libi Omerli, if you've ever heard Rav Asher Weiss's Shurim, he loves that phrase, Libi Omerli, you know, he says, my own initial idea, my own chiddush, I want to suggest, and again, I think this is, he's clearly correct, I don't think this is even such a chiddush, but he says, Moshe Rabbeinu Raya Mehimna, Moshe, who was the faithful shepherd of the Jewish people, when he asked this question about how do I understand God's judgment in this world, not just about individuals. I see a certain wicked person, I see a criminal, I see a drug dealer, he's living up the good life with all the riches of the world, and Nebuch, I see children who are suffering, tzaddikim who are poor or have disease and things like that. Maybe Hashem was asked, Moshe might have been asking that, but not only that. Moshe was also asking about the Jewish people. As Pirkei Avos tells us, that the Jewish people have a special relationship with Hashem. We are Hashem's children. On the one hand, for all of our faults, but there's no other nation that's more virtuous, that's more righteous, that's more moral than us, and yet afal pikein ein lecha mikol umos haolam amuka v'sovel k'amazeh. And yet, and this is something that everybody knows if they're honest, no nation has suffered as much as the Jews. Gola achar gola, diaspora after diaspora, gola v'sorei, more terrible, more destruction, more loneliness. V'zeach ata yotzu mimitzrayim begilu yishchina, even right after we left Egypt, with such revelation, but tupam mechalog with great fanfare and celebration. Soon enough, cheta egel, bad stuff happening, destruction. So the Jewish people, our history has been one big roller coaster, up and down, up and down. And that, says Rav Asher Weiss, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately was asking. Tzadik v'Rasha, Rasha v'Tovlo, how umos ha'Rasha yosheves shaket v'shanan. Right, the wicked nations, they seem to be prospering. Kol ir al tila benuya. They're sitting in comfort. Ir halukim, however, but Yerushalayim, Ushpeles ad sheol tachteha, Am Hashem. Right? Right? We are suffering terribly, terribly. And to that question about the Jewish people's national crises and journeys, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can see my back. He showed him the kesher of tefillin that connects the right and the left, the rachmim and the din, the ramazlo, when he hinted at him, afam lo teda poshron shal dvarim, even if you can't understand it, even if my ways are mysterious to you, darchei Hashem hanistaros, nevertheless, ach zos teda, kaldov rachman letavavid, v'gam midas adin, chesed hu. Even when it appears to be din to you, ultimately it is a form of chesed. And this is something that is really, again, it's not always easy to internalize and to feel in our kishkas, but at least as an intellectual or a theological or religious perspective, it is clear and consistent, and he has given a number of beautiful manifestations of this idea. But the consistent theme which he has described from the beginning of the piece about Krach Gadol Shabaromi through the two different prophecies of Yeshayahu and Yechezkel, Malok Haaretz Kvodo versus Baruch Hashem Imkomo, and finally Moshe asking to see the face of Hashem and only seeing his back, seeing the Kesher Tel Tefillin, the right and the left, Yudke Vavke and Hashem's names, all of it, a ton of material, a ton of application, but it's all coming to more or less say the same idea, that ultimately everything Hashem is doing is for the good. We believe this, it's an axiomatic matter of faith, just like Hashem is a loving parent, just like our own parents do their best and always mean well, even when they're giving us a harsh punishment. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything means well, even the din is ultimately chesed, even though we can't see it, even when he appears far away, even when the clouds don't let us see the sun, so to speak, we can't see Hashem, we know that he is really right there, and part of our emuna that gets us through these most difficult times is to know that Hashem is always with us. The reason I think this is so important is because I think, at least I speak for myself, I really mean this for myself, but I think it would be common, it's my opinion at least, is that if you were given a choice that everything in the world that happens to you is totally random, you're just totally subject to the winds of fate. It's totally random, no rhyme or reason. Or there's a loving God who's in charge of everything, and even when horrible things happen to you, you suffer terrible things in your life, you should know it's coming from Hashem and he means well. Which one would the person prefer? I'm not asking now what's true. So emotionally, psychologically, which would you prefer? So I think, at least I speak for myself, even though it would create questions, why would a loving God do this? But if you ask me what I prefer, to be left randomly to chance, or to have a belief that there's someone who decided this is best for me, even though I don't understand it and I'm suffering terribly, I personally would be more comforted by the former. I also happen to believe it's true, but I think it's more than that. I think it's also a measure of comfort. I'll mention, but this just will close. And again, I have tremendous rachamonis for the person because he suffered a horrible, horrible loss. But there was a non-Orthodox rabbi in America many decades ago who had a child who suffered from one of these horrible diseases. If I'm not mistaken, I can't remember its name, but I think it's that disease where you age very, very quickly. So you're like a little kid and you look like you're 70 years old. And if you're lucky enough to make it to your teenage years, you look like you're 90. I can't remember, you know, it's a horrible disease. You die very young. It's a very, very horrible. His son died of that, right? All you can have is compassion for such a person. And he grappled with trying to understand the meaning of it. And he wrote a whole book in which he decided that he has a theory, which is God is all knowing. God is all good, but he's not all powerful. He can't control everything. Now, what was striking about that book to me wasn't that it's kfira, right? That's absolute heresy from our perspective. To say God is not hakol yachol, God is not all-powerful, for us, that's one of the definitions of God. Okay, he's not Orthodox, he didn't feel so bound. But what struck me was that he writes explicitly in the book that what motivated him to get to this understanding, he admits that he used to think God was all-powerful. That's why he was bothered. How could God let this happen to his son? And his answer is, God is good, but he can't control everything. And he found that to be more comforting. Now again, I can't judge the man for his emotional trials and travails and what he suffered, but I found it completely flabbergasting. Not only because intellectually, religiously, theologically, I reject it, but because even if you asked me to prescribe what would be the best comfort medicine for someone going through pain, I personally would much rather believe that there's somebody like all-powerful God who decided this is what I need or this is what's best for me, even though I find it so horribly painful and I can't understand it, I'd rather that, at least in the big picture, than just thinking it's all up to chance. And even though horrible things are happening, there's no one who could actually stop it. There's no God who could do anything. What would be the point of prayer? I mean, so again, I'm not trying to emphasize the fact that it's philosophically heretical from our perspective. Like, that's not a surprise. But I have to admit, I was surprised that he took comfort in it. I think it's more intuitive to find comfort in the fact that Hashem is Bekrach Shalomi. Hashem was there. That Elohim and Yudke Vavke are Echad. That itself, it creates problems, no doubt. But I'd rather live with the problems knowing that Hashem is with us and with me, rather than think that he's somewhere far away, either doesn't know, or even if he knows, he can't do anything about it. To me, that would ruin the whole purpose of God, or the whole concept of God, and I think that would make me more depressed, honestly. So anyway, Emir Tzashem, both in our personal lives and in our national life, hopefully we're going through a difficult time, but hopefully we can get through it. And hopefully the Nechama will come soon. But in the meantime, we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us, even when we don't see him, even if we don't understand everything that he's doing.